You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle with Carl Dukes, Brian Baldinger, and Jason LaConforta.
Back for another edition of In the Huddle. Carl Dukes, along with my man Brian Baldinger, Jason LaConforta, part of this podcast as well, guys. And of course, Baldy, crazy week because the owners' meetings happen down in Orlando. We always get new information, new things that come out of the owners' meetings. And this week, we kind of waited, guys, because we wanted to see what was going to transpire. Annual NFL coaches meeting, so all the coaches were down there. And Baldy, we'll get into some of the specifics of things that were said and what we heard. But I think the biggest thing coming out of this week are the rule changes that are going to affect every team this season. And the first one let's talk about is the kickoff rule. You go back to when, hell, guys are running 50 yards down the field full speed. You had these major collisions and guys were getting knocked out of games. And you know, the return game was a big part of the NFL. As we've progressed, it's gotten less and less, and they want more action. So what do you think about the new kickoff rules, and do you think it's going to work?
Well, it's cute. It's a cute little it's a cute little play, Carl. You know, I remember, I mean, just perspective here. Obviously, things have had to change, but I remember watching football with my dad when I was a kid, and he called all those guys that ran down the kickoff to cover the kicks the Nut Squad. They were the Nut Squad guys.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's check it. Let's watch the Nut Squad. But, you know, so, I mean, that's obviously not happening anymore. I understand that. You know, we got a Hall of Fame player going in this year because of a kick returner, you know, because he was the best kick returner we've seen. And, you know, so I feel like we should pay some homage to those guys that have done that. I think it's, you know, I just feel like if you're 10 yards away from each other, Carl, and the returner is down the field. Like, we can't run a play without a holding call some days. Like, how many calls? You're asking guys to hold up in these blocks for like 3, 4, 5 seconds.
Right.
Like, it's just, I'm curious about that. I don't hear anybody talking about that. But you're asking guys in space against elite athletes to hold these blocks out there for 3 or 4 seconds. I'm curious how they're going to officiate the play. I think we'll get more kickoff returns. I am curious about the strategy. Now, all of a sudden, the special team coaches in this business, they've got something new to play with. And I feel like there could be a lot of strategy. I'm not talking about wedges or anything like that, but, you know, how you're going to create the lanes, what's the return, we're going to show you one return and come back the other way. Like, I think there's a chance for some creativity from some of these special team coaches. And then, you know, the guys covering the kicks, the guys protecting now, blocking, it could create more of, not just because if it's a better play or that could work, but, you know, guys could really make their name on special teams right now.
Yeah, and I like the way you said it's a cute play because when they line up, and we get a chance to see this firsthand, you know, of course they'll do it in the preseason and we'll watch, but I think, you know, the anticipation of these games when everybody's all hyped up and then, you know, we're ready for kickoff.
Yeah.
And then it's kicked out of the end zone and there's no return. It just sucks. Like, there's no action.
Right.
So I get the premise of it. I just don't know if it's going to work the way they want it to your point. But here's the deal. At least the NFL is willing to change, right? Yeah. And they're willing to at least look at this stuff and say, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But if it does, then we'll look back in 2 years or 3 years and go, man, what a genius, you know, idea that was to take this from the XFL or where the hell it came from and you know, incorporate it into the NFL. And we've seen other things, Baldy, come from other leagues. So that's nothing new either, by the way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I remember doing NFL Europe games, Carl, for Fox and the NFL Network back in the day when we played all these games in Europe. And, you know, we had a four-point play for field goals over 50 yards.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was something they played with. I mean, that we played with eight officials over there. You know, I mean, eight officials that are in the college game now, are we going to get eight in the NFL? They don't want that empire, right, like the college team does. You know, they don't want that guy back there anymore. It's just too many collisions. But, I mean, we have used other leagues in order to try out other rules. And I don't know that this thing is written in stone for the next 20 years. They might pull it. It might, you know, we tried a play a couple of years ago, a review a couple of years ago on all pass interference calls. They're under, you could challenge them. They're all challengeable calls. And it was a disaster. It just took too long and games went longer. And they, you know, they felt like the rule, it wasn't worth it, you know, and so they did away with it. So we're going to get this experiment. I don't think the fans are going to love it because it's change. And fans, you know, fans my age, older, even some younger, they want to see the purity of the game. You know, they want to see Butkus going down there and blowing people. So that's always going to be there. There's always going to be some pushback like that. I get it. But look, if it's a good play and players aren't getting knocked out and there's strategy to it, let's give it a shot.
So the big controversial thing that happened this week at the annual NFL coaches meetings, owners there, blah, 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 was this. I want to be careful because I don't know if it's safe or if it's stupid, because I want to reserve judgment to see how it's going to be officiated.
Right.
But Baldy, give me your opinions on the hip drop tackle ban that I didn't even know was a thing. Okay. Like, seriously, we watch all these games. We know all these guys, and I got to tell you, not one time during last season did somebody say, Dukes, man, they got to ban this hip tackle, this swivel, hip drop. Nobody, not one player has ever said that to me. But with that said, I know guys have been injured. So I heard Roger Goodell talk about the injury capacity to this particular play is higher than, like, you know, 20% higher than any other kind of tackle. But Baldy, does it make sense? Like, is this where we needed to go?
Well, I mean, I went back and watched the play last year. You might remember, Carl. Cincinnati, Baltimore, Mark Andrews gets tackled by Logan Wilson. He's going to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Beat the safety. He's going to score. They're on the 13-yard line. He's going to go in, and it's going to be the opening score of the game. And Logan Wilson comes, and the only thing he can do out of desperation is dive, leave his feet, grab Mark Andrews, and pull him down. It's the only way. It's the only way it's going to stop one of the best tight ends in the league from scoring. There wasn't any intent to injure Mark Andrews, but he broke his ankle on the play.
Right.
And he missed, you know, until the playoffs, he missed the rest of the season. So, I mean, but now they're telling me that particular play that everybody called a hip drop tackle isn't going to be part of the new rule because he didn't swivel. He didn't turn him. So now we're getting into these, you know, this game is played awfully fast, right?
It is.
But now, to your point, Carl, and what you're – I can feel your consternation about it. Like, how – it's already – every other play is under review in some capacity or another. Is that a hold? Is that a – you know, whatever it is. Now we're adding another component to it. And you're telling the officials who have a very tough job as it is and are under the microscope as it is – on missed calls, calls they shouldn't have made, whatever. Now you're going to add this to it. It just makes it more difficult because now, okay, if they want to say, well, you know, this is very similar to the horse collar tackle and we eliminated that and we kind of know what that looks like. This feels a little bit different to me. The horse collar tackle, we know, we can see the person getting jerked down.
Right.
We can see the hand inside the shoulder pad. It became pretty clear. Nobody really raised a big stink about it when it did happen. We said, like, this is a dangerous play. I don't know that you can say that about this particular thing because, A, number one, the defenders are already trying to figure out what they can and cannot do as it is, all right? Especially hits on the quarterback, hits over the middle, unprotected players. Like, they're already, what can I do? So I don't know how you're going to coach it. I don't know how you're going to officiate it at this point. Because, listen, like, I was just – when I heard about it, Carl, I said this – the exact same – this is what it hit me. I said, what if it's third and 22 and they throw a screen pass just to gain some field position to punt it? And some guy comes flying to try and stop them from gaining the 20 yards. And the guy gets pulled down. And it's an automatic first down. And you're like, this is not – it's not fair to the defense. And you heard J.J. Watt, you heard a lot of defensive players come out right away and say, this is nuts. Like, what else can't we do right now? And I feel like it's in that hopper of things.
The reason why I say, safe or stupid is because, for example, when Brady gets hurt in 07 or 08, whatever it was, in the pocket, and you have guys around a quarterback's legs, And if you're intentionally trying to take out a quarterback's knee or ankle while he's looking the other way or what, that's safe. I get that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
This is Matrix type stuff where you're attempting to, where a guy is supposed to slow down and, I'm going to toggle this guy perfectly. You can't do that.
I know.
That's why I use that term. And again, I'll reserve judgment. I've been pretty adamant this week about the fact that I didn't know this was a thing. Like, and now I guess it is. So be it. But, and we don't want to see anybody get injured. But to your point, like that one particular play, I just want any NFL coach to tell the league how their defender was supposed to stop Mark Andrews.
Right.
Do we just allow him to score, which is not the objective? Or do you do what you've been taught since you were this big, Baldy? Tackle and be physical with the guy and get him to the ground however you need to. How many years have you heard coaches just say, look, I don't care how you get it done. Get it done. And now it's get it done, but wait a minute. You can't do this, and this, but get it done.
Here's what the NFL will say. Because I've sat in all these meetings over the years. For 30 years I've been sitting in these meetings, when the officials come in preseason. And what typically happens is – The play gets flagged a lot, hits over the middle, defenseless receivers. It gets flagged a lot to start, and then players adjust. And, I remember Aaron Donald, him sacking Russell Wilson in the last 5 years didn't look anything like it did in the first 5 years. Like, he started rolling Russell Wilson over his body just to make sure his body weight wasn't on him when they started using that term. You can't hit him with all your body weight. So the players do adjust. This one, though, feels different. This one, if I'm Logan Wilson and there's Mark Andrews beating the safety and the end zone is in front of him, like on a cloud, like there's nobody in front of him. And you're just making this desperation tackle. You're not thinking hip drop. You're just thinking about how do I get this 250-pound man going full speed down to the ground. And that's that particular play. Now, now they're saying, okay, well, you can tackle him, Logan, like you did. You can't swivel. You can't turn him. It's like the pass interference calls. We don't know what it is. We don't know what a fumble is. We're getting to the point in the game where we literally don't know any of these things. And it's becoming more and more difficult to understand. And now the worst part, Carl, honestly, is the gambling component to the game. It's always been there, but now it's out front.
Sure.
And so now fans, and you see it on your Twitter, you see it on your timeline, you talk about it on your shows. Now fans think there's another angle to all these calls. And that's and that's getting louder and louder.
Yeah.
And now if a hip drop tackle gets called and it decides the game, I mean, what Monday is going to be like.
Yeah. Big problem. It's going to be a big problem.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Brian Baldinger, Carl Dukes, Jason Lockhart, four are part of this podcast. It's In the Huddle. Subscribe, like us, watch us on YouTube at In the Huddle Pod, guys. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, did he overtake the number one spot? We're going to talk about it next on In the Huddle. Carl Dukes, Brian Baldinger, Baldy yesterday, Jaden Daniels. Is he the best quarterback in this draft? He had his pro day. Baldy, listen. It's hard for us to get excited. You've seen a million of these, right? We've watched them. It's hard to get excited to say this is the difference in a guy being number one overall or potentially two or three. We do know this. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, my opinion, J.J. McCarthy, then Bo Nix. Okay, those are my five. But did Jaden do anything yesterday to maybe put some doubt out there for the Bears to go, we got to look a little bit harder at this guy?
Couple things, Carl. One, I'm not sure anybody even remembers or knows outside of LSU and SEC fans that Jaden Daniels did win the Heisman. You know, I mean, he was the most electric player in college football.
He was.
Okay, I mean, you just turn on that Alabama game. You know, I mean, you couldn't leave the TV for a second, and that display. Watch him, you know, on the 80-yard touchdown run against Florida. It's, you know, the kind of stuff that we saw from Anthony Richardson last year. You know, I talked to a couple general managers this week, Carl, and I'm like, when do you set your board? Mm. You know, when is your board set? So, okay, can Jaden Daniels, you know, jump over Caleb Williams, whatever. Like, this general managers are telling me 90-95% of their board is set when the game's at. It's off the tape. Now we get these pro days where players – you know, Malik Nabers is jumping 42 inches. Whatever that means, Carl, honestly. Like, you know, Jaden Daniels can throw the ball a long ways. I feel like there's a lot to like about Jaden Daniels, obviously. Like, you know, he's a top three quarterback. Is he better than Caleb? Does Chicago now? Does Ryan Poles go back and rewatch the games after watching him throw it yesterday?
Yeah.
I don't think you have to do that. I hear people say, if you like Jaden Daniels more than Caleb Williams, you've been liking him like that since the end of the season. I don't believe yesterday's performance in front of the world, the NFL world, that it should change anything. He's still a slender, elite, you know, fast twitch athlete. Does he give you a better chance to win games in Chicago than Caleb Williams right now? I don't know that anything's changed.
So, Malik Nabers, listen, I still think it's Marvin Harrison. As my man Gus Johnson says, Maserati, marvelous Marvin Harrison. I still think he's the best wide receiver. But I do think Malik Nabers is a very second, you know, very close second. And to your point, the 42-inch thing and, you know, vertical leap and all that. Okay, so that means he can go up and get balls, right, that may be out of range or overthrown and – he can make those fabulous plays with his catch radius, which we talk a lot about in the NFL. But if anything, I think maybe he may have helped himself to solidify the fact that if you're going to go Marvin before me, great. But if I'm going to at least put in your head that I may be better than or at least as good as this guy that everybody's talking about. I think Malik Nabers, to your point, helped himself to me more than Jaden Daniels because – I just feel like at that position and as deep as this wide receiving class is going to be, that's where you get into who's going to go one, two, who's the first wide or second wide receiver to come off the board, Baldy?
Well, I look, it is, and I'm putting Roma Dunze in here too.
I agree.
Like, this is a very bunched top of the wide receiver draft. And in some ways, I feel like you can't go wrong. But, for example, if you go back to 2014, you know, with Odell Beckham and Mike Evans and, you know, some of the guys that came out. I mean, there was Davante Adams in that draft. He was the eighth receiver taken. And he ran a 4.58 40 and out of Fresno. And they said, and, you know, who's been the most productive? I mean, Mike Evans, you know, was top 10. You know, that's what you're looking for is production. But I do think when you look like Malik Nabers and you have the production, which is considerable. I mean, he is the all-time leading receiver at LSU.
It's crazy.
You know, this is almost wide receiver. Ohio State, you put a couple teams in there. I know fans love saying that stuff, so I'm just throwing it in. But, you know, you're the all-time leading receiver at LSU, and it wasn't just Jaden Daniels. There was other guys before that. You walk out of that, you know, out of that program, coaching changes, all the things that took place, and then you jump 42 and you show that the body and the sprint, and you watch him play inside, you watch him play outside, you watch him run routes, you watch him, you know, the hang time for the ball. I mean, it's like it becomes very, very congested at the top here. And I'm curious myself, you know, if you're the New York Giants and you need a wide receiver, you're the Arizona Cardinals, you need a wide receiver. I'm curious, you know, Monty Osifor, you know, in Arizona, like how are you stacking these guys? Is Marvin number one? Is Malik 1A? Is Rome right? Like it is, it might be one of those things, Carl, honestly, where you know how like you get a run on positions in the draft.
Yes.
Like, it might start Marvin at 4, and who knows, like who comes like trading up to get, you know, if they feel like they're just stacked that close and you're getting a true, you know, you're getting a Jamar Chase, you're getting a Justin Jefferson, you're getting that true number one wide receiver. Like it could influence trades, the run, when does the run start at 4? And is it, you know, over at 10? Like a lot of things can really happen. So then you get the quarterbacks getting pushed up and the receivers and the tackles. I mean, we might see all offense in the first 10 picks, all those kind of things, I think sort of got jumbled a little bit yesterday with what we saw from Malik.
I agree. Baldy, real quick, while we're talking about, you know, the draft boards being set, and we've got plenty of time to talk about those things here over the next few weeks as we get ready for the NFL draft. But if a team has a conviction on a player, right, then they're going to draft him.
Yeah.
And the example last year that I will use, because they were in the playoffs, is the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. When they made the decision to go Jahmyr Gibbs, yep, and everybody, I questioned it. It was like, what is this?
Yeah.
But the conviction to say, we understand how we're going to use him.
Yep.
We like his skill set. Yep. And we don't care about what anybody else says.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, to your point about whether it's Jaden Daniels or Malik Nabers, if you have a conviction about a player, that's all that matters, right?
That's all that matters. Yeah. And even, you know, I heard people talk about, you know, we got a month to the draft. So this, sure, is going to be, this is driving the NFL right now. But you know, if you have a conviction about a quarterback, like just say you're Denver right, mm-hmm, now, and you need a quarterback.
They do.
You don't have a whole lot to work with, but you need a quarterback. You know, there's John Elway. That's the standard. There's Peyton Manning. That's Denver. That's the standard. And you've got Sean Payton there. How much is too much to go up? If you get it right, if you get your Mahomes, if you get your Drew Brees,
right,
how much is enough? Like, I don't think there is enough. Because once you get that guy, you can build everything else out. And if you get the coach, you get the coach and the quarterback, you can supplant everything else. It might take a little longer than what Cincinnati did with Joe Burrow or what Atlanta did with Matt Ryan. But if you get your guy, there isn't too much. And so that, I'm only saying that because of the word conviction.
Yeah.
You've got conviction about a guy. This is what you win with in this league at whatever position you're talking about. Nothing is too high. Like, it's just a draft pick. Like, teams, every team screws up draft picks and blows draft picks and gets it wrong. It happens every year to every team. Not every year, but it happens to every team over a period of time. You have a conviction about a player. Go get your player.
Yeah, that's going to be the key when I think we may be surprised draft night when some of these guys come off the board.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
While we're talking about quarterbacks, Jerry Jones this week said that they are ready to roll, which means it does not mean that Dak Prescott is going to get a contract extension. So McCarthy and Dak are playing in their last year, right? Both on their last year of their deals. So for me, this is the smartest play I've seen Jerry Jones have in a long time, Baldy. Don't get into the heartfelt, I love the player so much, we got to take care of him, extend him. You don't do anything in the playoffs next year. You're still on the hook for a lot of money. Just let it play out. Mm-hmm. And I love that he did this. Yes, it's a big cap hit, but this is a prove it year. And yeah, I want to get your thoughts on the fact that, you know, this contract situation, it's a risk, but I think it's a risk worth taking. If Dak wins the Super Bowl with the Cowboys next year, he names his price, right?
No doubt. No, listen, you really could call the Cowboys season. I mean, if you were going to write the highlight reel in backwards in time, you would say the prove it season. And maybe Mike McCarthy gets another Super Bowl. Maybe Dak gets to a Super Bowl. You know, they've won 12 games 3 years in a row. You can't dispute what they've done in the regular season. But the postseason has been a disaster for this organization. 3 years in a row. It's been a disaster. And to watch Green Bay go into their building last year and do what they did to them, that you have to sit back and go, wait a second. We're not putting a boatload of money in front of anybody right here. We're not pushing any new contracts. We're going to sit here and see how January plays out this year. We're just going to play it out. And if we have to pony up next year because of the success we have, we'll worry about that next year. But this is a prove it season for this franchise. And that's just where they're at right now.
Yeah. And I like it. I mean, because it's un-Jerry-like, right? He usually does the opposite. We're going to take care of our players. And then he goes above and beyond, and then it comes back to bite him. So, you know, if you're a Cowboys fan and you listen to us and you watch us in the huddle, just know this is the right decision, because it gives you the flexibility next year to say, we didn't get it done. We can really reevaluate everything. And if you want to move on from both of them or one of them or whatever the circumstances are, you can do that. Real quick, a couple other things, Baldy, before we get out of here, and we're just kind of recapping what happened at the meetings this week and the rule changes and all the stuff going on. Jadeveon Clowney signs a 2-year deal with the Panthers. You talk about being revitalized with the Ravens last year. I mean, you could say the Ravens just got him paid again, right?
No question. And, you know, he'd been making a circuit now. He was up at the Jets last week. And, look, good for Jadeveon. You know, I mean, he rejuvenated his career. He had a real renaissance. He had the 9.5 sacks, which tied his career high. But it was more than that. It was the effort. He stayed healthy. You know, he got signed in August. So after the season started, he got signed. So he was out there on the street. And now he's got security. He's got $20 million. He's going to a franchise that has been moribund, that is looking for stability. You know, they really haven't. You know, Brian Burns is gone. They need somebody to come off the edge. You know, this is a good chance for him to earn the money and maybe be a part of a building block as they try to lift this thing up, you know, from the ground floor up right now. So good for Jadeveon. But it kind of shows what this league can be like. You could be one of these guys that has been forgotten about, you know, left in the dust, out there on the street. But if you go out and you produce, you could still get paid. Now, it helps that you were the number one pick in the draft. And, you know, 10 years ago, you were the talk of the draft, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That helps. But at the same time, it's never over. Like, he went to a place that had stability, that had a lot of great defensive players, that had a great run, and they were the number one defensive football. And he was a big part of their success. So he turned that into a nice contract and a guaranteed deal.
So the Pittsburgh Steelers, we know their quarterback situation, right? Russell and Justin Fields are there. And this week, Mike Tomlin used the term pole position when he described Russell Wilson being the guy who has pole position.
Yeah.
Baldy, is this going to work? I mean, is this – I want to believe that it is because I believe in Mike T and how he operates. I do understand, and I think this is the brilliance in what he did this week. You're basically saying, don't ask me the rest of the offseason about who the starter, at least going into camp, is. And when we get to camp, we'll have a competition. But right now, it's Russ, and then it's Justin. And he's laying that out to say, I don't want to talk about it, you know, anymore, and I don't want to have to deal with this. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, but I get where he's coming from. But is this going to work?
It's a one-year deal. It's a one-year thing. I mean, even before Mike said that this week, the owner has come out and said, 10 wins isn't enough anymore.
Right.
Winning seasons isn't enough. We have to win playoff games. So, you know, will it work? Well, they have to win a playoff game for it to work, period. Like, it's been 2016. And although they've got six of them, you know, in the showcase, and you walk into the Steelers facility, it's the first thing you see. And we know the history of the organization. And Mike is a big part of that. But Steeler fans are – they're exhausted. This has been a long drought, okay? Cincinnati's gone to the Super Bowl. Baltimore's back on top. Lamar's a two-time MVP. Yeah, I mean, this is – it's exhausting for Pittsburgh. And, you know, so they've got to win a playoff game. Now, it's not easy to play with Russell Wilson. As a receiver, it's not easy. It's hard to see him. The ball doesn't come out on timing that often. Like, he needs his escapability to make these sensational plays.
Yeah.
It's not – Joe Burrow sitting in the pocket and carving you up. That's not who he has ever been. And so, does he still have the legs? Can the receivers, and there's George Pickens, and then tell me who else they have, Calvin Austin. They have a couple tight ends. I mean, we'll see what they do in the draft. You know, they pick up Cordero Patterson. Like, I don't know what role he's going to have in the offense yet. We saw the role in Atlanta. It was pretty good, but they've got two backs already. So, I feel like you're just kind of holding your breath right now. And then I don't know what Justin Fields' role is. You know, does Russell Wilson play himself out of a job if they're not winning games? And then they're looking for a spark. Do they have a role where Justin Fields is a part of the offense? That's not going to make Russell happy.
Yeah.
You take him off the field, put Justin in. So it remains to be seen, and I'm not skirting the question. Because it's a good question. And I think Steeler fans have to ask that. But it's a one-year look at what we might be able – maybe Russell gets his magic back and the team responds and they win playoff games. But if they don't, you know, they're right back in the well.
All right, a couple of things before we get out of here. It's In the Huddle, guys. Subscribe, like us, In the Huddle Pod. Brian Baldinger, Carl Dukes, Jason Lock on 4, part of this podcast as well. The 49ers apparently say they're ready to pay Brock Purdy. Is Purdy going to be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league?
Well, San Francisco has already told every player that's been an elite player on their team will make you the highest paid player.
Okay.
I mean, whether it was Nick Bosa or Fred Warner or Debo or, you know, I mean, George Kittle or Trent Williams, they've already got like every single player at the positions I just mentioned. We'll see what Brendan Ayuk does. I just don't think they need to rush into anything right now.
I don't either.
I mean, they got to get Ayuk figured out because I don't think they want to lose Brendan Ayuk. He's their best receiver. So I just don't think the conversation, I get it, you know, but we're talking about a player. I get that he's on a four-year deal, but play the year out. Next year at this time is the time where the conversation should be had. I don't think there's any rush to lock him up. If he's your quarterback, he's your quarterback. Whether you sign him this year or next year, maybe it goes up a little bit, but salary cap will go up a little bit. I just think you worry about that when it happens.
Yeah, I agree. There should not be any rush. Baldy, great work as always, man. By the way, I know we'll be talking about this, but you'll be heavy into the draft with NFL Network and all the things coming up. in the next few weeks. We've got time, but over the next few weeks, we're going to start breaking down players, team needs, all right, and what we're hearing about the upcoming draft. It's the best TV show on, period. And it goes 4 days. It's going to be a lot of fun. But we're going to start getting into those things now that we're past the coaches' meetings, and now we get into April. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Subscribe, like us, and make sure you tell your friends, guys. Baldy, have a great day. Thank you guys for being here.
You got it, Carl.
Take care, everybody.